Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to another service here at Unity Center of Light, located in Bowie, Maryland. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service today. As always, we'd like to let you know, especially if you're new to this YouTube channel, that we also have a Zoom fellowship that happens on Sunday morning at 10:30. You get to see the recording that we're doing now, and you will also have a chance to be involved with folks in Unity and hear good, great music and so forth. So if you have not joined us in a Zoom session, 10:30 on Sunday morning, you could look at the e-newsletter or the weekly update for that. And if you're not receiving those, you can go to our website, which is unitycenteroflight.org, and there you can sign up for to receive the e-newsletter and the weekly update. And in addition, Unity really depends on the offerings and wonderful offerings and blessings that are given to us by those who appreciate and are being rewarded by what we do here. So we are very grateful to receive your offerings. And if you're wondering how to give to Unity Center of Light, again, if you're watching on YouTube, click on the Show More button below, and you will see all the ways that you can give. And we are very thankful for all of your donations. But right now, we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thank you. Well, good morning and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop and fully express their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the good, omnipotent. Amen. And now we'll have the daily word reading for today, Sunday, May 28th. The key word is comfort, and the affirmation is loving memories comfort me. There may be days or maybe even weeks on the calendar when I find myself mysteriously feeling melancholy or blue, only to realize the anniversary of someone or something I have loved and lost is approaching. Even when I don't realize it outright, a part of me remembers and responds. I can honor these feelings as a way to honor the people and places that have taught me and helped me evolve. Welcoming my feelings brings deep and abiding comfort. I carry those people and places I love with me in the things I do, keeping their spirit alive. Gradually, I find smiles within the sadness. Revisiting treasured memories reveals the love within the loss. The presence of God is found within the gift of each moment, and I find comfort through my grateful heart. And the scripture reading is taken from Psalm 119:76, and it reads, "Let your steadfast love become my comfort according to your promise to your servant." Amen. And now we will have the Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So we are, continuing our journey, really, to learn more about the spiritual side of ourselves, the side that we, read so much in scripture and hear so much about in other, disciplines about that we are spiritual beings having a human experience. And today we're going to talk about the fact that God is patient with our back and forth effort, right? You got to think about that. Quite often in our lives, we may find that many of the journeys we are on may leave us taking three steps forward and two steps backwards. And this backward and forward movement can, happen in, like I said, any area of our life, anything that you're trying to accomplish. And as we talked about in last week's lesson, this back and forth journey could possibly be contributed to a shift between conscious incompetence and conscious competence. Right? Because these are the psychological levels where you are at least aware of what you do and do not know, which could position you to at least understand all that you need to know and to do to keep your journey moving forward. Okay, so there's awareness at those levels. And last week's lesson, we explore that with the right level of commitment and motivation and discipline, we can stay with the practices that will eventually get us to where we're, you know, we're striving to get to. But you got to have that motivation and discipline and that commitment to keep working at the things that you are trying to accomplish to help you to move forward. And as we explained about conscious incompetence in last week's lesson, this stage requires a heavy conscious commitment in order to stay with executing these practices that we talked about, whatever those practices may be for what you're, you know, striving to accomplish. But once, you know, even at the level of conscious competence, you know, you're conscious of your of how competent you are at something, there is still the need to continue to work out at perfecting what is needed to remain competent, okay? Because when you step out into your life, what you will experience can have twists and turns you haven't even thought about or didn't even know that could possibly happen in your life, okay? So there are many, many resources available to give us detailed instruction, practices, exercises, and programs to help move us along to wherever it is that we're striving to, you know, to get to. For example, Pamela and I are striving to get back to a level of enjoyable proficiency at playing golf. Notice how I said that, enjoyable proficiency at playing golf. Because, you know, we're not going to become golf pros, so we just want to be able to get out there and enjoy it. But due to several bouts with injury and recovery, we have been away from the game for over 10 years. But it's something that we enjoy doing together, you know, and with, you know, doing with friends and family. So we've been watching videos, you know, that show the various aspects of the correct golf swing, along with giving golf exercises, you know, to help you become more flexible. And we're looking at other, you know, in various ways of practicing. For example, you know, at least twice a week, we're going to the golf driving range to practice what we learn about the correct golf swing pattern, all of which is good and helpful, okay? So we're practicing. But when you actually go onto the golf course, that's when you see how well you have, can translate that practice into actually playing. Because, see, the surface on the hitting surface in the driving range is flat and consistent. But the golf course is far from consistent. It has ups and downs and hills and valleys and sand traps and trees and woods and water. Oh, the water to contend with. You know, which challenges everything you thought you accomplished in your practice. So you'll have to, you know, you will have encouraging days, you know, when you go to play golf, which makes you think you've got it. And, you know, you can play this game. And then you'll have days, maybe several days on the golf course, which prove that you just ain't got it, right? Which makes it feel as if, you know, you're taking two steps forward and three steps backwards. But that's the nature of the game, okay? Now, the key here, the reason I brought that up, is because the spiritual journey is very much like that. You know, we read and we study and we pray and we meditate and we recite affirmations and we contemplate the spiritual ideas, you know, we've learned. It all feels so good in the comfort of our homes, you know, when we're doing our meditation and all of our prayer work and so forth. But then we have to go out onto the golf course of life, where the terrain is full of peaks and valleys and troubling, challenging circumstances and situations. You know, and we find it could be very difficult, much more difficult to deal with that than when we were just safely meditating at home, okay? But doing spiritual practice in a safe environment may cause us again to think, I've got it. But when we're out in the world, we may have experiences which let us know again, we just ain't got it. Three steps forward, two steps backward. Okay. So if you think about the golf pros, you know, they prefer not to end up in a sand trap or uneven, you know, ground or deep rough, but they're so well practiced that they have a set of skills they can use to get them out of challenging situations on the golf course. It's the same in the game of life. We will find ourselves in the deep rough at times. But the question is, have we mentally, emotionally practiced our spiritual skills enough to have the spiritual tools in our life bag to get us out of the rough. That is what we are striving to understand in this lesson. Because as many of us have experienced, right in the middle of our happiness and joy, you know, life is going well, we're happy, we're joyful, everything is great, and then a life challenge can pop up and try to pull us back a few steps. So we want to continuously do the work to be prayed up, as the saying goes, so that we have the spiritual tools we need to handle any situation. Now, in Paul's second letter to Timothy, and this is recorded in 2 Timothy 3, 14 through 17, this is the advice he gave. He says, but don't let it faze you. Stick with what you've learned and believe, sure of the integrity of what you were taught. There is nothing like the written word of God for showing you the way to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Every part of faith, of Scripture, is God-breathed and useful in one way or another, showing us what is really true in the challenges in our lives by exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way. Through the Word, we are put together and shaped up for the tasks of life that life has for us. Okay, so to repeat, don't let life faze you. Stick with what you learned and believe, sure of the integrity of what you were taught. And yes, I admit that there is stuff that comes up in my life that does faze me. But because I continuously think about and practice these divine truths, as you know, I have to, you know, do the study and the reading and the work, you know, to be able to put together these lessons every week, you know. So I get to a place where there is stuff that used to faze me, but doesn't anymore, okay? And I'm sure that, you know, that's true for everyone listening to this message, that there is stuff that used to faze you, but does not faze you anymore. So we want to remember those times when we're able to come back to center, okay, come back to our spiritual center, because knowing and remembering those times is our salvation. You get what I'm saying? If you can remember, well, how did I get myself back to center from that other things I've gone through, all right? That's our salvation. Actually, your life is your sacred reality. Your life is your sacred reality because it shows you what you have accomplished in becoming aware of and living from your inner divinity. Okay, that's why I say your life is our sacred reality. And the verse that we just read, the scripture we just read, the verse that said, there's nothing like the written word of God for showing you the way to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. This is what the revealing word says about that. It says, the word of God is the avenue through which divine intelligence reveals to us what we need to know about what to do and not to do in our lives. The word of God is divine intelligence being made available to us at all times and in all situations. Okay? But the revealing word goes on to say that the degree to which you hear the deeper truths of spirit depends on whether or not you are doing the work to be able to hear and understand the deeper truths of spirit. Okay? And this is not an intellectual process. This spiritual process is not an intellectual process. It is a prayer process through which you keep yourself open and receptive to God's living spirit of truth. So this is what is being referred to by Paul in his second letter to Timothy when he said, every part of Scripture is God-breathed and useful in one way or another, showing us what is really true in the challenges in our lives by exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, and training us to live God's way. Okay, so remember in last week's lesson, we said God comes to us disguised as our life. So in the midst of our life, in the midst of what we are experiencing, there is the Word of God breathing guidance and direction, training us, showing us the way. But allowing us to make the choice as to what we do with it, okay? And we've talked about that a lot. You know, in a new member orientation we did last Sunday, we talked about that with the folks who are striving to become members of Unity. You know, that there's a process that's going on within us. And, you know, we get these divine intuitive thoughts that come into us. But then it's up to us to choose whether or not we're going to choose that or not, okay? So let's look at the last line of the scripture. It says, through the word, we are put together and shaped up for the task life has for us. So there is much that can happen in our lives that can cause us to emotionally fall apart, fall backwards on our spiritual journey. That's the nature of the human experience, okay? But no matter what happens in our lives, it is our spiritual duty to remember that the Word of God is always there with us, breathing guidance, right? Comforting us, strengthening us, encouraging us, putting us back together, back on the spiritual path. And the constant challenge for us is to stay in a God is with me as me state of mind. Let me say it again. The constant challenge is for us to stay in a God is with me as me state of mind. Just say that with me. God is with me as me. Okay? So as Paul advised us in 1 Corinthians 16:13, be on your guard. Stand firm in your faith. Be courageous. Be strong. And do everything in love. Okay? So there's a phrase I came across in my research called unitive consciousness. Unitive. U-I-T-I-V-E. Unitive consciousness. It explained that unitive consciousness is a gift from our true self. Okay? And explained further that the true self is a master knitter that can take seemingly opposites and create a beautiful and truer perspective of what is really going on in our lives, okay? It can see meaning and unfolding patterns beyond the chaos and confusion, but it does not rush to quickly resolve and fix things, okay? Now, yes, it can be disconcerting to hear that God does not rush to fix the troubling things in our lives. But as Richard Rohr explains, God does not rush to quickly resolve or fix things in our lives because God works to fill every gap, use everything that is happening in a situation in our lives, and waste nothing so that when it is healed, it is truly healed. You have to think about that. So if troubling situations were happening in your life and all of a sudden Spirit just took it away, okay, you go, wow, it's gone. But what did you learn from it? Okay, so that's why I say God is not quick to do this, because it uses this idea, this divine idea, uses everything about the situation to make sure, and he says, you know, everything that happens in a situation and waste nothing, okay, again, so that when it is healed, it is truly healed. We really learn from the experience so our consciousness shifts so we never go through that again. So this humble productivity and slow efficiency on God's part is called economy of grace. Let me say that again. The humble productivity and slow efficiency on God's part. Because we, you know, a lot of times we say, well, when is God going to fix this? All right? So this humble productivity and the productivity is using every part of it, okay, to heal us of the consciousness that may have contributed to it, all right? This humble productivity and slow efficiency on God's part is called the economy of grace. And I'll talk more about that in another lesson. So this idea of living from our true self has been the focus of almost everything we study here, right? The search is always for different ways of saying the same thing. And the reason why we're always looking for different ways of saying the same thing is that one of those ways will hit home for each one of us in our own time, allowing us to live it as we now understand it, okay? And also living in our own way. And you probably have had that. I know it happens to me sometimes. I'm watching something, I see it again, and I see it again. All of a sudden, I get it, okay? So in many ways in our lives, we are seeing the events and circumstances in our lives from the perspective of our true self, even if we do not know it, which is why we have been able to recover from life's setbacks and continue to move forward, okay? You know, so we're always operating from, there's an aspect of our true self involved in everything we're doing, but a lot of times we just don't know it. We have become capable, you know, even with this process of not even knowing it's coming from our true self, we become capable of seeing meaning and unfolding patterns in our lives beyond the chaos and confusion, all right? And we may not have yet identified this ability as coming from our true self. But the more we become able to identify with the truth of our being, the more determined we become to see the truer perspectives of what's really going on in our lives. Okay. Now, I came across this fellow, Paul Nitter, N-I-T-T-E-R. He wrote an insightful book called Without Buddha, I Could Not Be a Christian. Let me say it again. Paul Nitter. The book is called Without Buddha, I Could Not Be a Christian. And in his book, he explains that the Buddhist teachings, the Buddhist teaches, practices that will help Christians draw on the mystical contents of our faith. For example, just like the contemplative practices of Christianity, Buddhist practices are such as meditation, being in the silence, living mindfully. You know, all of those help us to go closer or grow closer into ourselves and to encounter our deeper truths and our deeper realities, which is our oneness with God. That's what we're always striving to understand in this idea of oneness. Last week or the week before, I talked about being in partnership with God, partnership with the God of our being, okay? And Nitter explains, he says, Buddhism can help Christians to become mystical Christians, to realize and enter into the non-dualistic. Non-dualistic means, you know, not being in this mindset of right or wrong, good and bad, or unitive heart of the Christian experience, which is the way to be one with the Father, to live the Christ-like, to be Christ-like, to be not just like a container of the Spirit, but an embodiment of the expression of the Spirit, to live by and with and in the Spirit, and to live and move and have our being in God, okay? So this idea of this unitive heart, okay? Again, think of the unitive heart of being when our heart, mind, body, and soul are with the one we call God the good omnipotent, okay? So unitive heart, or back to what we said earlier, unitive consciousness is when our heart, mind, body, and spirit and soul are one with the one we call God the good omnipotent. And even though this concept of oneness might still be foreign to us, you know, we talk about it a lot, we've heard it a lot, okay? But even though it still might be foreign to us, you know, we keep hearing about it over and over again. And the revealing word explains that there is but one mind, even though every one of us has an enormous number of thoughts, beliefs, and opinions that make up who we are, okay, that make up our individual consciousness. All of these various states of consciousness are in the one mind that God is. Okay. What is it? 6 billion people on the planet, all with different thoughts, beliefs, and opinions that make up who they are, you know, that make up who we are, that make up our individual consciousness. But all these various states of consciousness are in the one mind that is God. And Richard Rohr explains, we cannot be, listen carefully, we cannot be objectively separate from God. He explains we came from God and will return to God. And everything in between, I like this, is a school of life where we learn it is imperative to live consciously loving. Okay? Let me say it again. He explains we came from God and will return to God. And everything in between is the school of life where we learn it is imperative to live consciously loving. And listen to this. It says, authentic spiritual cognition always has the character of spiritual recognition. Let me read that again. Authentic spiritual cognition always has the character of spiritual recognition. Okay? Now, for example, recognition is what Jacob was experiencing this in Genesis 28:16. When upon waking up from a deep sleep, and we always talk about we're in a deep sleep, okay? He proclaimed, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not even know it, okay? And that is what we're seeking to do, to awaken from a deep sleep that has us dreaming at times that God is not in our life and affairs and that we are not in God, okay? But Jacob demonstrated what happens when he woke up from the deep sleep. And we will say the same thing. Surely the Lord was in my life, and I did not even know it. Okay. And as we said before, God cannot not be in our lives. I don't know if that's a double something or other. Okay. But God cannot not be in our lives. And Richard Rohr explains in his book, Things Hidden. He says, fortunately, we are always being led back to the real center to find who we really are, to find ourselves in God. God seems both very patient and very productive with our journeys back and forth. Such is the pattern of our soul, of our history, of the Bible, a progression of sorts, two steps backwards and three steps forward. Okay? You know, and it's imperative to keep in mind that this God that we're referring to is within us as us. This is not something up in the sky. More specifically, God is within you as you continuously brings you back to your center. Okay, God is within me and continuously brings me back to my center. No matter how many times we go off the deep end, the God of our being patiently and productively brings us back to our spiritual center. And remember that word productively means by using everything of the experience that we're going through to help heal us so that we don't go and pull that into our lives again. And where it says God is both very patient and very productive means that in order for our experiences to be productive, we have to learn something from the experience. The more productive the experience, the more we can learn from it. And the more we can learn from it, the better able we become at taking another step forward. Okay. So I'm going to leave you with this affirmation from Science of Mind magazine, May 4th, 2023. It says, I didn't have that up there?
No, we don't have it.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, I thought I had that up there. But anyway, let me just share it with you. I refuse to engage in disappointment when things do not go as planned. Instead, I turn to the truth, declaring that only the greater and the better is unfolding in my life in perfect divine order. And let me just say that again, since I didn't have a slide for it. I refuse to engage in disappointment when things do not go as planned. Instead, I turn to the truth, declaring that only the greater and the better is unfolding in my life in perfect divine order. And so it is. Amen. And now we're going to have a meditation with Pamela.
So as this is Memorial Weekend, I have a special meditation for this occasion. So let us settle into this special moment and be ready to relax and take some deep breaths. I invite you to close your eyes and allow your neck and shoulders to relax along with the rest of your body. Take in a couple of deep breaths and slowly exhale. bring your attention now to this Memorial Weekend and what it means in our lives. Memorial Day is set aside to remember those who have fallen in our nation's wars and given the ultimate sacrifice for this country. It also includes all folks who have given of themselves during the pandemic, those who are first responders to those who are in need, our nurses and doctors, teachers and neighbors, who have been of help, anyone that has gone over and beyond to help another. So today we come together with loving and appreciative hearts to honor those brave men and women who have given their lives throughout the history of our nation, and those who have made a difference for good in the lives of others. We honor all these now serving as we raise our prayers for all who serve. May the Lord bless and keep them. Take in another deep breath in and out. And as you do, bring to mind a loved one, a relative or friend who has served in any capacity that is a blessing in your life, serving in our armed forces or otherwise. Send them the love, support, and gratitude for all they are doing or have done. Let's go deep now into the silence now to remember. Please take these words as your very own. Gracious Spirit, for those of us that have never served in the military, I have no idea what that even resembles, but I know this. Those who have served and are serving now do this for me. They were away from their families and loved ones with one focus in mind, to do what was and is still required as part of this service. My heart is grateful beyond understanding. I ask and thank you, Lord, of my being, to protect, guide, and encourage our men and women who serve, for all that they do for our country and everyone at home. I remember a neighbor that came to my aid many years ago, how he was so concerned for my safety. I will never forget that day. I also remember God never forgets his plan of good for me and never forgets the promises. Even when life is tough and things don't seem to make sense to me, I can rest assured that the Spirit of God is in control and working out the plan. God has my best interest at heart. Knowing this encourages and strengthens me and pushes me to do my best to live in His Spirit. And so, as my Heavenly Father remembers me always this Memorial Weekend, I remember all the brave and valiant men and women who fought for me every day and the thousands of people who passed during this pandemic. I feel blessed and know that they are a blessing to me. Take a few moments now to go even deeper into the silence of your soul. Pray, be grateful, and receive answers to your prayers. Thank you, mighty God, for my good and the good of all people. We give thanks, as always, in the name and nature of our elder brother and way-shower, Jesus the Christ, and so it is and forever shall be. Amen. When you feel ready, open your eyes and come back to join your Unity family.
Thank you, Han.
Nice talk.
Yeah. All right. So this is the time we acknowledge God in our lives as prosperity and abundance. You know, there are so many things in our lives, each of us, that, you know, we are thankful for. And it may not, it's all different for each one of us. Remember, abundance takes in everything in your life that is makes your life happier, more joyful, you know. So I want you to think about all those things as we say our prosperity prayer together, okay? So together,
divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I am, all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive. Thank you for all the blessings you provide for me and through me. Amen.
So this, you know, now we are just being thankful as a spiritual family for all the donations that we allow to flow through us and into our spiritual home to continue to support this work that we're doing. And all of those of you who are our YouTubers, our virtual audience, we are thankful to you as well for the offerings that you send to help us continue doing this work. So with that in mind, let's say our offering blessing together. We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light. Amen. And now, hon, you have some light notes.
Yes. So on Wednesdays beginning May 31st, we invite you to join us for a new speaker series with Reverend Kathy Beasley called Everyday Wisdom. Discussions will be led by Reverend Butch and licensed Unity teacher April May. We will meet for an hour from 7 to 8 p.m. June 4th is our next in-person service. This is our Summer Music Sunday, and we will have two of our favorites, Safi and the Quiet the Mountain with Jimmy and Christian. A variety of songs will be played during our service. Following the service, our bookstore will be open for your purchases. The Booklight Book Club will meet on Sunday, June 11th from 1 to 3 p.m. to discuss the book, What If This Is Heaven? By Anita Morjani. You still have time to read the book and join us for discussion. On Sunday, June 18th, Father's Day, we will have our friend, Reverend B. Amon James, speak for us. His talk title is Nothing to Prove. Amon is a founding member of the Unity Center of Light and was our first music director. He will share special music while he was with us on while he's with us on Father's Day. The Women of Unity will once again get together at the home of Brenna McDonough Wolfe in Bowie on Saturday, June 24th. Now, the Women of Unity group is an open group. We invite all women to attend. So please feel free to join with us at any time we plan to get together. This is a potluck brunch, so please let me know what you'll be bringing. Call me at 301-385-2254, and please stay tuned for more details according to what the theme will be. And that concludes our announcements for today.
All right.
So now it's time to bless the path that we're going to walk this week. We're going to say our affirmation together with passion, zeal, and gusto together. I go forward in the Spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous. And I am grateful.
All right, let's go right to our prayer for protection together.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine. And all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. So it's been our pleasure to bring you this service today. We look forward to seeing you in the Zoom session if you already have the link for that. Otherwise, we will see you next week and hope you have a wonderful week and a safe and memorable Memorial Day. So with all that, we'll say goodbye.
Bye-bye.